In a Texas courtroom today, the bombastic conspiracy theorist Alex Jones was, for the first time on the stand, repentant. He said he now understands it was irresponsible to say on his radio program that the 2012 Sandy Hook School massacre was a hoax. He now believes that it was, quote, 100% real. In the first of several expected defamation trials, Jones is being sued by Connecticut parents Neil Heslin and Scarlett Lewis, whose six-year-old son Jesse was murdered in the school rampage. For 10 years, Jones has repeatedly thundered from his InfoWars microphone that the shooting was set up by the deep state to seize Americans' guns. Here he is in 2013.
Sandy Hook, it's got inside job written all over it.
Jesse's parents say Jones' constant lies caused them not just emotional harm, they have documented PTSD, but physical danger as his followers confronted them at their home and on the street, called them imposters, shot at their cars, sent death threats. One was played in court. Yesterday, the parents spoke. Jones was not there in the morning. He was doing his radio show when Neil Heslin, Jesse's dad, wept through his testimony, describing his son and the hell he'd been through. Later that day, Jones was in court when Jesse's mom spoke directly to him about his lies that she's a deep state government operative.
It's just not true. I know you know that. That's the problem. I know you know that. And you keep saying it. You keep saying it. Why? Why? For money?
The parents are asking for $150 million in damages, as Scarlett Lewis said, in the hopes it will make him stop. Dan Solomon is senior editor for Texas Monthly. Dan, yesterday, parents testifying that their son was real. Incredible.
Yesterday was a really rough day. You know, the challenge of covering this, of being here, is that it's about the most tragic thing that can happen to people, and also about the sort of circus act that descended upon them as they were in the midst of their grief. Most of the trial has focused on some of the entertainers in the circus act, and then yesterday was really about the grieving parents, and that was difficult to watch. Jones wasn't there for the morning for the father's testimony, and so his absence was really noticeable, and then he came in after lunch for the mother's testimony, and his presence was a warping factor in the room. There were times when she would get a question from her attorneys that she would choose to not really answer in favor of just addressing Jones, because it's an opportunity she'd sought for a decade now. She'd wanted to be able to address him, to have her say, and she got it. And I think that for her was the point of this trial.
At one point, he answered one of her questions. She said, "Do you think I'm an actor?" He said no, and the judge admonished him. "Oh, no, no, you don't get to talk. You just listen." But he did testify. Let's hear a little of that.
"I never intentionally tried to hurt you. I never even said your name until this case came to court. I didn't even really know who you were until a couple years ago when all this started up. The internet had a lot of questions. I had questions."
Dan, what is his defense? What did he say?
He didn't really say much of anything. He just kind of rambled, you know, which is something that he's known for doing. And then at certain points, he said things as part of his testimony that he's not allowed to say, that are not true, and that he was enjoined from saying because of the court's orders before the trial began, which led to a interesting confrontation between him and the judge.
The judge actually said to him, "This is not your radio show. You can't lie here." Well, Alex Jones is hugely wealthy. He has a huge media empire. He's been trying to file for bankruptcy. We'll see, you know, what happens there. But in the meantime, in the courtroom, you saw kind of an interaction afterwards. What happened?
So he spent a lot of his testimony coughing. He spoke several times about his torn larynx, which he claims that he has. And after the testimony, while he was still coughing, Scarlett Lewis, who is the mother of Jesse Lewis, who died at Sandy Hook, the plaintiff, she passed him a bottle of water. And he took that opportunity to try and shake her hand and shake her husband's hand. He seemed generally polite in that moment. He apologized. He said that he failed their son. And the attorney for the plaintiffs said, "Are you going to apologize for talking about Neil on your show as well?" Because he had that morning while Neil was testifying, Alex Jones was on the air making fun of Neil, saying that he looked slow and that there was something wrong with him. And Jones doesn't like the attorneys. And Jones, of course, got heated, as he does when he feels like someone is telling him what to do.
It's astonishing. He was disparaging the parent in the trial against him on the air. Mm-hmm. And then trying to come into the courtroom. I mean, one persona for his audience and one for the courtroom. Dan Solomon, senior editor for Texas Monthly, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Alex Jones showed up at this trial one day with duct tape over his mouth, the words "Save the First" written on it. But this is not a First Amendment trial anymore. Yes, there is freedom of speech. There's also defamation law. You can be sued for harming someone with your speech, but neither are at stake here. Let's bring in Enrique Armijo to explain. He's a professor at the Elon University School of Law in Greensboro, North Carolina. Professor, help us understand something called a default judgment. We heard about this in court yesterday. Courts in Texas and Connecticut have already issued these judgments against Jones without trials because he failed to respond to court orders and turn over documents. So what does this mean, a default judgment?
Well, it means that because you don't defend, you have basically lost. And he hasn't just lost as a procedural matter. He's lost what we call in the law on the merits. He has defamed the Sandy Hook parents and other plaintiffs in these three defamation cases. So the role of these juries is now only to find how much damage to those reputations his statements have caused, and also whether or not he should be punished in addition to that damage in the form of punitive damages, which are basically damages intended to punish the conduct because it was so harmful and to deter other people from engaging in similar conduct.
Well, you'd think, given that of what you just said, that courts have already decided that he's liable and it's just a matter of how much money in damages he might have to pay, you would think that he would not on the stand claim his First Amendment rights as a defense because the judges have already decided that's not a defense.
That's exactly right. And that actually came up yesterday during his testimony where the plaintiff's lawyers said, look, the judge in this trial has entered orders that direct the parties and the lawyers the issues to not talk about in front of the jury. One of those issues is whether or not Alex can make a First Amendment defense, and the judge has said that he cannot because, again, the liability issues in the case have already been decided against him. I think Jesse's mother made a really powerful statement, you know, the things where she said about accountability. She also said, I want to usher in an era of truth.
Yeah.
And that's really what these parents are asking for. If and when they win, they will have a declaration by a jury of their peers as to what is true.
Well, I was going to ask you, at the heart of these cases has always been, how can you tell when someone is lying? How do you know that they don't know? Is this case so blatant? And do you think this will change some of that thinking? We know when conspiracy theorists are lying. We know when they know that, you know, an election wasn't stolen and a child was murdered.
I think it's true that if this case results in a substantial verdict against Alex Jones and InfoWars, I think it will cause some harm, you know, in the law of defamation and the way that we think about defamation, to this emerging defense by defamation defendants that Alex Jones is perpetrating both in and out of the courtroom, that if I didn't know if it was true or false, I can't be sued for defamation, right? The what you might call the just asking questions defense to defamation. I mean, again, his state of mind is largely not at issue in the case because of the default judgments. But I think if and when he is found to be liable, I think it will deal a really strong blow to this idea of I can pretend to not know whether or not something is true and then say it, and therefore avoid the repercussions if that thing that I said turns out to be both false and harmful.
Hmm. Enrique Armijo, professor at the Elon University School of Law in Greensboro, North Carolina, thanks so much.
Thank you.